verses 27 through verse 34. When Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he, Jesus, was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly or immediately charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. And as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man, possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. And the multitudes marveled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, He casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. Now Matthew is the only one who records these two miracles involving a blind man and what he refers to as a dumb man, which was simply one who could not speak. And this miracle took place after Jesus had left the house of Jairus. We've spent the last several weeks looking at what transpired there. But in verse 27, back in verse 26, after Jesus had raised the daughter of Jairus, the fame hereof went abroad unto all that land. And when Jesus departed, when he left that house, there was two blind men and a mute man that was following him. Now, more than likely, considering that there was, remember that a multitude of people followed Jesus to the house of Jairus. They weren't in the house when Jesus worked the miracle, but they were outside. More than likely, the majority of that multitude was also following Christ at this time. But we are specifically told of two individuals here, two blind men that followed Christ, and the reason the emphasis is put upon them is because what would transpire. But by way of background, remember, before Jesus went to the house of Jairus, he had cast out a demon in the demon-possessed man of Gadara. Following that, he crossed back over the Sea of Galilee. There were a multitude of people waiting for him, and that's when Jairus, of course, came and made his plea. While they were on their way to the house of Jairus, we have the woman who had the flow of blood and how she was healed. So we have word has gotten around that Jesus had cast out the demon of the man of Gadara, that Jesus had healed this woman with the flow of blood. And again, remember that she gave her testimony in hearing of that multitude. Then, of course, they made their way to the house of Jairus, and there Jesus raised the 12-year-old daughter of Jairus from the bed, from the dead. So we see that, without a doubt, there was a buzz of excitement going on. People were talking about the many things that Jesus had done here of late. So Jesus makes his way from the house of Jairus, and that's where we pick up these two blind men. Their names are not given, but we want to notice some things about these two men. Notice what Jesus did for them. There's several instances, of course, in the Gospels where Jesus healed the blind. He did so in a variety of ways. He would touch their eyes. He might just speak. He might spit and touch their eyes and make mud. But again, all that teaches us that Jesus does not always do things exactly the same, even though the need might be the same. So we see that these two blind men, they had a desperate need, but beyond that, they felt their need. All lost individuals have a desperate need. People are born into this world with a desperate need. Having a desperate need and feeling that need are two entirely different things. And I believe before the Lord will meet our desperate need, he will make us to feel our desperate need. But these two men had a desperate need, and they felt that need. So again, after Jesus left the house of Jairus, we read two blind men. That word blind, of course, tells of their condition, tells of their need. And these two blind men followed him. That is, they followed Christ. Perhaps, more than likely, they were part of that multitude that followed Christ to the house of Jairus. But these two blind men followed Christ, and they were doing something. It says that they were crying. Doesn't mean that they were weeping. It means that they were speaking aloud. They were entreating the Lord. They were begging the Lord. They were pleading with the Lord. This pleading reveals several things. It reveals that they were not ashamed to express their need. And once someone feels their need, they're not ashamed to express their need. And these two individuals, by the fact that they were crying aloud, no doubt others also were following, shows that they were not ashamed to express their need. It also shows that they were greatly burdened concerning their need. And it also shows that they were desirous of having their need fulfilled, because they were pleading, they were crying. Now, they were crying to Christ. They were pleading with Christ. That shows or reveals that they believed that he was able to restore their sight. Once you come to the realization of a need, whatever that need might be, you don't just plead with anybody, you plead with those whom you think can help you, whom you believe can help you. And again, you take somebody that's homeless, poor, do not have anything. They're not going to go and plead with another individual in the same situation. They're going to plead with you when you pull up in your car, because they believe that you have something that they need. So the fact that they pleaded with Christ shows that they believe that Christ was able to restore their sight. This shows that they believe that Christ was greater than their blindness. Secondly, these two men believed something concerning Christ. They not only believed that he was able, But they believed something concerning the person, the character, the position of Jesus Christ. Notice again in verse 27, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, thou son of David. Now this is expressed, what they said is expressive of what they believed concerning Christ. They believed that he was the promised Messiah. Son of David means that he is the promised Messiah. The fact that they referred to him as the son of David shows that they believed that Christ was the promised Messiah of the Old Testament, which shows that they had some knowledge. Maybe they had heard it, but they were not completely ignorant concerning the promises of the Old Testament. They knew that the Old Testament, they knew about David. They knew that the Old Testament promised a Messiah. And they believed that Christ was the Son of David. That title, Son of David, also speaks of the kingly office of Christ. So by referring to him as the Son of David, they are saying, we believe that you are the Messiah. We believe that you are King. Now this is faith. Keep in mind, these men are blind. These men are blind. They have never seen Jesus perform a single miracle. They're blind. They have never seen Jesus Christ. But they believe. They believe that he is able to restore their sight. They believe that he is the Son of David, that he is the promised Messiah, that he is King. They cannot see, but they believe. Again, the whole people say all the time, seeing is believing. That's backwards. Scripturally, that is backwards. If you've got to see something to believe it, you don't have anything. Hebrews chapter 11, you know where we're going with this. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence. Evidence is proof. You present evidence, you are presenting proof. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. That is, things we cannot see, faith gives proof of those things. These men could not see Christ, but they believed. These men have never seen Christ work a miracle, but they believed. And that's why, again, people who say, well, if people today would have seen the miracles that Christ performed then, they would believe. No, they wouldn't. They'd act the same way they did back then. Remember the rich man in hell? Send to my brother's house. Let me go to my brother's house and tell them. Certainly they'll believe if someone comes from hell and tells them. And what did the Lord say? They have the prophets. If they don't believe the prophets, they won't believe anything else either. And that still stands true today. So all of these people just need to see and then they'll believe. No, they won't. No, they won't. I mean, there's abundant evidence of that throughout Scripture. So these two blind men, they believe something concerning Christ. Again, they have never seen Christ work a miracle. They have never seen Jesus Christ. But faith cometh by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. They weren't deaf. And they no doubt heard about Jesus. They no doubt heard many things about Jesus. I'm sure they heard the opinions of the scribes and Pharisees about Jesus. And they heard favorable opinions about Jesus as well. And no doubt they had probably heard about how Jesus had liberated the demon-possessed man of Gadara, how that Jesus had healed this woman with the blood disease, and how that Jesus had just caused the daughter of Jairus to arise. So they have heard. And they believe what they have heard. And they believe without seeing that he is the Messiah. Now it says in verse 27 that they followed him. They followed him, and while they're following him, they are pleading with him. Why are they following him? Because of what they believe. They are following him because they feel they have a need. And they are following him because they believe that he is able to meet that need. So the fact that they're following him was evidence of their faith. Faith always has evidence. Faith has works. This is what James talks about in James chapter 2. Faith without works is dead. It's useless. A man can tell you about their faith, but if there is no works, there is no faith. The fact that these folks followed Christ is evidence that they believed. When they spoke, "Thou son of David," that also was evidence of their faith. Now, these two blind men, they feel their need. They are burdened concerning their need. They believe that Christ is able to meet their need, but they also believed and felt that they were unworthy of the blessings of God. Again, verse 27, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." Have mercy on us. That's their only plea. That is their only plea. They did not say, "Thou son of David, open our blind eyes." It's not what they said. They said, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." This reveals two things. It reveals that they felt unworthy of his blessings. Now, today's mentality would go something like this. Everybody has a right to see. And I have a right to see. I have a right to be cured of my blindness. Because everyone has a right to have sight. But that's not so. These two men did not feel worthy for their sight to be restored. So it reveals that they felt unworthy of his blessings. But it also reveals that they believe that he was merciful. They have never seen him perform an act of mercy. I believe they've heard about his acts of mercy. And they believe that Christ is merciful. If you are looking for mercy, you certainly will not go to someone who does not have any mercy to show. You will go to someone who you feel will be merciful to you. So they believed that he was merciful. Again, all these things they believed, They did so without ever seeing a single act. They believed he was able, yet they've never seen a single act of his power. They believe he is merciful, yet they have never seen a single act of his mercy. But they believed. They believed enough to follow him. They believed enough to plead with him. Also, these two blind men, I believed that he, Jesus, was fully aware of their need, that they did not even have to tell him their need. They never made reference to their blindness. They never did. I mean, read the account. They never make mention of their blindness. Matthew records that two blind men. But these two individuals never made mention of their blindness. Their plea was simply, "Thou Son of David, have mercy upon us." They believe that he knew their need. And he does. They not only believed that he knew their need, he certainly could see their need, they were blind, but he believed also that they knew the desire of their heart. They wanted to see, there's no question about that. But they never said, "Lord, open our eyes." They simply believed that he knew the desire of their hearts. What they did was something that most of God's people need to learn. They simply left themselves in his hand. They did not dictate. They simply left the matter in his hands. "Thou Son of David, have mercy. Have mercy upon us." So they are following Christ. They are pleading with Christ. And then these two men came to Christ. Verse 28. "And when he," Jesus, "was come into the house." So they're following Christ. We do not know for how long, but they have followed Christ down the road. Jesus Christ comes to a house and he goes in. And we read, "The blind men came to him." That tells me that they too went into the house. Perhaps invited. Perhaps uninvited. We don't know, nor does it really matter. The fact is, they were following Christ, and now they came to Christ. That means they have drawn closer to him. Now, there's a difference between following someone and coming to them. When you come to them, you've gotten closer. So now they are closer. They have drawn near to Jesus Christ. And in what spirit have they drawn near to Jesus Christ? They have done so with burdened hearts. They have done so with humility. "Have mercy on us." They have drawn near believing that Jesus Christ is able and that Jesus Christ would show mercy unto them. Now, the reason we said that is because that is the spirit it takes to draw near to Christ. You have to have a burden. You have to have a desire to do so. You know why people do not draw near to Christ? Because they don't want to. Because they don't want to. They had a burden to draw near to Christ. There's only one way that you can draw near to Christ, and that is with a humble spirit. The proud will never draw near to Christ. Those who think that they can provide their own needs are not humbled enough to draw near to Christ. This is why the Lord at times has to send trials. Or I say have to, but he does in his grace and mercy. He sends trials to humble us. And why does he want to humble us? So that we would draw near. So that we would draw near to him. So they came into the house. They have burdened hearts. They're humbled. And they believe. And again, those things are absolutely necessary if we are going to draw near to Christ. So they're in the house, and Jesus said unto them. Now it appears to me that while they were following Christ, and while they were pleading with Christ, Christ never said a word to them. But when they got in the house, and now they are closer to Christ, we are specifically told that Jesus spoke to them. Now, the fact that these individuals were following Christ, were pleading with Christ, and Christ appears to have been silent, that's a test of faith. That's a test of faith. Because I've known many, and we've all been guilty, who will pray a few times, and if they don't have an answer, then they take matters in their own hands. Because they have no faith. The Lord's like a magic wand to them. We'll go to the Lord, and if he doesn't perform his magic right away, well, then I'm just going to take over. And I'll just fix this myself. And you won't fix anything. You'll wreck everything. But, so this was a test of their faith. Then when they get inside the house, Jesus challenged their faith. He said, believe. Believe ye that I am able to do this. He challenged their faith. The Lord does that. The Lord tests our faith. The Lord will bluntly challenge our faith by asking us, do you believe that I am able? Do you believe? Do you truly believe? And we'll stop there and pick up next week.